Welcome to Nightlife, the podcast.
We go through different phases in our lives, don't we? I have a four-year-old at home and she generally does what she wants and thinks about her needs. And she's increasingly thinking about her little sister and things like that. But as we go on, we have responsibilities, we have jobs, we have potentially a spouse, partner, we might have children of our own or grandchildren of our own, all these demands on our time. But as life goes on and we start thinking about retirement or perhaps you just want to see change or to switch things up, sometimes you get the chance to actually being able to make a big change. And we're going to talk to people tonight who've managed to do exactly that, who've said, you know what, I'm going to draw a line in the sand and do something completely different. We're talking tonight about repurposing your life in your later years, trying something new, finding a new direction, and perhaps some meaning that might have been missing there before. Now, of course, not everyone's going to want to do this. Not everyone will feel that they need to find some big new focus. But maybe if you're feeling restless or perhaps a little unfulfilled, maybe there's something you can do to switch things up and find some meaning or purpose. And maybe our guests tonight will inspire you, whether you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s or beyond, or maybe like me, you're in your mid 40s and thinking, hang on, what do I want to leave behind when this is all finished? Do I want to do what I'm doing now or find some new stuff to do, whenever it is? How do you make that period of your life a true golden age? And that's what our guests are doing. First up, we have Ronnie Khan. And now you might have heard her being described as a social entrepreneur or even an industry disruptor in her role as the founder of food rescue charity OzHarvest. They do incredible things, taking a food that was going to be thrown out and giving it to people who really, really need it. Ronnie Khan, great to have you on Nightlife. Welcome. Have we got Ronnie Khan there? We do. Hello, Ronnie.
As you said, this has been a big week for
us. It's been a very big week. I'm keen to find out exactly how it's gone and catch up on the campaign we've been doing very shortly. But I also want to welcome former BBC presenter and journalist Siobhan Daniels. And after losing loved ones in a dark period in her 50s, now, Siobhan, you decided to embrace adventure, selling up and swapping your life for a motorhome. You're dialing in from the UK. Welcome to Nightlife.
Good evening to you. It's morning for me here, but I'm thrilled to be talking to you.
It's so nice to have a radio pro from the UK on the show as well. Now, where exactly are you in your motorhome as we speak this morning your time?
I'm in the wonderful county of Yorkshire. It's where I was born. Although I'm travelling Great Britain, I keep coming back here to stay with family and see family. So I'm in Yorkshire at the moment in Leeds.
Oh, beautiful. Okay. I remember as a child going to York and seeing York Minster, and there was a Viking centre there, I think, and they recreated.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, the smells of authentic Viking Britain. That was Pongy. Apparently, so
yeah, they are very pongy. I've been to that exhibition; it's very good.
Yeah, any snow around up there?
What was that? Sorry,
any snow around up there in the north of the UK right now? Not yet, perhaps.
Not quite, but you can feel a nip in the air, so it's on its way.
Okay, all right. Well, excellent. We'll think of you there with the motorhome parked somewhere in Leeds in Yorkshire. Now, Ronnie Khan, let's get back to the week that we've had, and it's really exciting to chat to you. At this point, we will, I guess, talk mostly about how you came to create OzHarvest and start the work that you do. But can you update us on how this appeal has been going? Because we've had the privilege of really working with OzHarvest to raise some money for what you do over the past week or so. How are things looking at this stage in this appeal?
Look, it's extraordinary. So first of all, we're so appreciative that ABC Gives chose OzHarvest for their appeal. And although we had geared up and knew that Wednesday was the big day, the Giveathon, we could never have imagined what that day would be like. I had 24 volunteers, 32 staff manning the phones. I think that the stats were like we were on the phone for 1,362 minutes. There were over 350 calls. But how it all ended. So the goal was $250,000 in New South Wales and $50,000 in the ACT. And I can tell you that we already well over $390,000 together. So it's been amazing
That's so exciting. And I mean, thank you to the listeners who've gotten on board and done this. And the stat that I always find amazing with OzHarvest is the notion that $1 supplies two meals. How is that even possible, Ronnie?
So, you know, right from the get-go, I knew that we needed a really strong value proposition. And so we worked out what all our operational costs were. We worked out what it would cost to run. And then we divided it out by the weight of a meal. So it can absolutely be one cooked meal. It could be steak and three veg, but it could also be a yogurt, a sandwich, and an apple. So it's the equivalent of. But it's been a very, very powerful metric because literally you've helped us deliver just on 800,000 meals. So it's extraordinary and it is powerful given that together with all those that are doing food rescue, we are servicing and delivering 450,000 meals a week.
It's an incredible thing that you're doing. Look, there are various charities across Australia. You can check on how the campaign's going across the country, abc.net.au/gives, and OzHarvest, just one of the recipients there. Incredible the work that you do. Okay, so that's what OzHarvest is doing now. The yellow vans are familiar in much of the country, going around and picking up the food from restaurants that might not need it anymore or from other places and taking it to where it's needed. And we'll talk about how you got to that in a few moments. But Siobhan, I'm keen to get back to you in the motorhome. How did this phase of your life begin? Why are you now this amazing adventurer traveling around the UK and going wherever your heart takes you?
I do. I go with the flow. My plan is to have no plan.
Amazing.
Basically, I'm like a lot of women who relate to me. I felt overwhelmed by life when I was in my mid-50s for various reasons. Like you mentioned, I had a brother and sister who both died within years of each other, both aged 53 from lung cancer.
Oh my gosh.
I had precancerous cells, so I had to have a hysterectomy. I call it my hystericalectomy because I've never been the same since.
Oh, wow.
I was feeling a lot of ageism and feeling marginalized at work. I felt I was at the same time I was struggling with the menopause. I was sitting next to colleagues who I'd worked with for years and I turn around and think, God, I can't remember your name. You know, I called it my cotton wool head and it was all part and parcel of me struggling with the menopause. So it was a culmination of all sorts of things that one day I found myself in the toilet at work just sobbing. And I looked at myself in the mirror and I just thought, you're broken. You can't carry on. Well, not I can't. I don't want to carry on like this anymore. I need to find another way of living. I need to find my happy place. My daughter calls me the happiness chaser. So that was then when I first hatched a little plan in my head that I needed to find an escape route. I needed another way of living. It took a few years before literally the idea of a motorhome popped into my head. I was trying to figure out how I could retire at 60 and what I could do. And the idea was get rid of your home, get rid of your possessions, get a motorhome and hit the road. And that's exactly what I did do.
Well, it's an incredible vision. And I'm sure a lot of us have thoughts like that sometimes and idle. Just pondering of, oh, wouldn't life be simpler if I just got rid of everything and downsized and made life simple? What was the thing that made you decide to actually do it, to find that drive, to actually action the dream?
I think when you just feel broken, you feel you've got no alternative. And I really did feel broken. And my daughter had gone to university. When she actually went to university, I visited Oz because I was 49 and I took a gap year from the BBC because I was I'd just had my hysterectomy and beginning to feel ageism and feeling unhappy then before I was 50. So I took a gap year, went backpacking around the world on my own and spent a couple of months traveling Oz. So when I got to my mid-50s and just felt completely broken, I felt all bets are off, I'm going to do this. And there's a lot of women feel like that. And I know they feel scared and they say, I can't do it, I'd be scared. I was scared, but I just kind of pushed myself. I don't know, I don't think my brain's maybe wired the same as others, but I kind of just pushed myself and thought, this is it. And once I told everybody, I'm going to retire at 60, I'm going to get a motorhome, I'm going to travel Great Britain, and I'm going to challenge ageist attitudes and challenge ageism and promote positive aging, I just got excited by the idea more and more. So that's what I did. And people supported me doing it. I think my daughter was a little bit worried when we were walking past charity shops and she kept going, "Mum, was that yours?"
And it was.
Yeah. But when I turned the key in the ignition in 2019, September 2019, and set off, I didn't really know where I was going, what I was going to do, but I just knew my plan was to have no plan and go with the flow. And I just somehow knew it would work out. And it has worked out. 3.5 years later, I've got a book out called Retirement Rebel, which is doing really well. And it's resonating with lots of women. It's helping young women not fear getting old and older women to not forget themselves and reignite that spark and have their adventure. And I'm happier than I've ever been. I say to everybody, I've become the woman that I always felt I should have been. And I found my inner voice and my inner warrior. And that's why I'm shouting from the rooftops about it, because I want to help other women, because I know how broken I was and I know how good I feel now.
I'm sure a lot of people are listening and relating to your words, Siobhan Daniels. If you want to join the conversation, 1300 800 222 is the number, or you can text 0467 922702. Dom Knight with you on Nightlife around Australia on ABC Radio. And Siobhan Daniels is talking to us from her motorhome in York, where she's been returning to regularly throughout 3.5 years on the road. Ronnie Khan is with us as well, the founder of Oz Harvest. And Ronnie, listening to what Siobhan said there about having a rebellious retirement and just turning everything upside down and going for it to become the person you always wanted to become, were you relating to that at all in your journey in life?
You know, it was interesting listening to her, because I can't say, there's certainly things that I resonate, but because I now work, I don't work. I mean, I work, but I've never, for the last 18 years since I've been with Oz Harvest, it's never been a day's work. Every single day is a day filled with gratitude, joy. You know, to find one's calling is extraordinary. But I wasn't broken. I stumbled into my calling. And I think it's really important to share that, because, you know, so many people sometimes look at me or at other people, even like Siobhan, and think, you know, something dramatic has to either happen to me, or, you know, I could never do that. And the truth is, I believe everybody can do something. Certainly not everybody has to start a charity, but I stumbled into Oz Harvest because in my work life, I had a problem. I was producing beautiful events with huge budgets, doing wonderful themed parties and corporate events. And every single one of them had one thing in common, and that was I was providing masses of food, because food is about dignity, sharing, abundance, generosity, and success. So I never wanted my clients, my guests of my clients, to leave my events hungry. So I overcatered and was throwing away hundreds of tons of food without even thinking about it, because that's what we did. That's what the industry did. You started early, you finished late. And so it was only really when I did one huge event and nobody ate and I had so much food that I just couldn't throw it away. I just knew that I had to do something. And I filled up my van and took it to the only agency I knew late at night, and with open arms, they gratefully took that food. And I just, it was like, you know, a light bulb went pop, because I became a rogue food rescuer for a while and loved it.
I love that there's a van in both of these stories as a means of liberation, which is excellent kind of Thelma and Louise version to get behind the vehicle. So in what way were you a rogue food rescuer, Ronnie Khan?
Well, because initially, I mean, I still had a business, and the reason I had a business was not only because I loved what I did, but was because I needed to make a living. I had a mortgage and I had things to pay. So I never thought of, I didn't start Oz Harvest because I was bored or because I was rich or because I actually had a life crisis. I started as Harvest to solve the problem, and I thought I'd just do it for a little bit until I worked out what to do with my leftovers.
And you're still trying.
Exactly. Well, I didn't realize then that, you know, we were wasting 7.6 million tons of food a year. I didn't know that it was costing us $36 billion a year. And as soon as I started realizing that actually if I had food waste, so did my other event producer friends. And then I walked into my greengrocer and suddenly thought, wow, what happens to your waste? And so it snowballed. And so for the first 7 years, I actually continued running my event business while rescuing, while having started Oz Harvest, because once I realized that there was all this food, I decided to do something significant about it. But I had never thought of it replacing my life. It just became more and more heartwarming and exquisite. And I just started loving rescuing food more than I loved producing events.
That must have been an amazing moment, though, when you said, you know what, I'm not a caterer who's now trying to, an event organizer who's trying to get rid of the spare food. This is who I am now.
Exactly.
I'm the person who rescues food. Was there a particular moment where a kind of a light bulb went off and you figured that actually this was the main game for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I was born in South Africa and went to visit at one point. I'd been doing rescuing food and I'd been doing my events and thought, listen, this is getting very complicated. And I thought I'll just take a week off or just go and visit South Africa. I had never been back since I had left. Mandela had now come into power. Apartheid had been dismantled. But my memories and my heart was filled with the South Africa that I grew up in during apartheid. Mm. And all the fear of what South Africa had meant growing up. And I arrived back in South Africa and my gorgeous friend said, okay, we're going to visit Soweto. Now, Soweto, when I grew up, was a shanty town, a scary place that was cobbled together with cardboard and corrugated iron, little boxes that crowded people lived in, the smell of smoke and coal and wood just filled the air, and white people were not welcome. And she tells me we're going to visit Soweto. So my heart is beating and I'm petrified, but clearly she knows what she's doing. And as we drove into Soweto, I had known that Selma, my friend, had been an activist. She had stayed to try and fight apartheid, but I'd been away for a long time and I didn't know the details. And as we drove into Soweto, she turned around and said, you know, I was responsible for electricity in Soweto. Now, a few million people live in Soweto. And all I could think of at that moment was that I wanted to know what it felt like to make that kind of a difference.
So when I ask if a light globe went off, this is it literally an electrical moment? You heard someone doing something on that scale and it made you realize that the sky was the limit by the sounds of things, Ronnie Khan.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just that I knew, and I was like a woman possessed and just came back. And what I resonated with Siobhan when she turned around and said she told everyone she was going to do this. And I told everyone I was going to start a food rescue organization. So even if I ever faltered, I told too many people to ever back down. It was like, okay, I'm committed, because I just told everyone that this is what I was going to do. And yeah, and I guess it took a year to set it up officially. And I carried on working in my business until I realized that actually it was okay to actually do this as my work, because when I did it full time, everything in Oz Harvest changed. You know, we went from me just doing it part time to being full time.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything escalated from there.
So it was a leap of faith, essentially, to say, this is my thing now. We're hearing from Ronnie Khan, who's the founder of Oz Harvest. She's been working with the ABC and New South Wales and the ACT to raise a lot of money for her food rescue organisation over the past week. It's been incredible to see the response from listeners to all of the ABC Gives initiatives over the past little while. Thank you so much. If you've been able to support them, abc.net.au/gives is where you can go to find out more. Dom Knight with you on Nightlife. And our other guest is Siobhan Daniels, who gave up her life and her home and her possessions and bought a motorhome and started travelling around, having a simpler and more adventurous life. And I guess what Ronnie was saying about, she just took this leap, she decided to do a thing, and told too many people, she just had to do it. I guess when you buy a motorhome and that's where you live, Siobhan, that's also a pretty great leap of faith in your idea.
Yeah, but I agree with Ronnie that it doesn't have to be something really traumatic to make you do this. But the thing about me is I had to do something really dramatic and show that people didn't need to live with all the stuff that we had. I felt that we were bogged down, including me, going out, working ridiculous hours to earn lots of money to buy lots of stuff and clutter our life. And then we don't have the time or really inclination to spend quality time with family and friends. And so I felt we were getting it wrong. So it was a culmination of feeling overwhelmed and wanting to show less is more, that I'd made this dramatic statement. And when I'm giving my talks and I've written in my book Retirement Rebel is that you don't have to be as crazy as me and give everything up. And what I'm trying to do is just get that conversation going, that saying that so many women are forgetting themselves. And I don't know what it's like in Australia, but in Great Britain, you can't get your pension now till you're nearly 70, and it's going to be even later. And there is this culture of ageism within society to a lot of particularly women. I know men find it as well, but I'm speaking and relatable to a lot of women. When you're in your 50s and women feel forced out of the workforce when they're 60, when they don't really want to and they can't afford it either. So now they're being forced into poverty because they can't get the pensions. So I'm trying to get the conversation going with the young ones, saying you're going to be the old of the future, and say, come on, girls, what is it we can do to make it better so that we can age better? And I think to make sure that I got a platform and I got a voice, I had to do something as dramatic as get rid of my home and my possessions. But do you know what? It's been so liberating. It's the best thing that I've done. You don't need that much at all to live and be happy. And I've still got a little gin bar in my motorhome. You know,
there you go.
And I do look after prioritizing.
It sounds as though you were kind of the Marie Kondo before Marie Kondo became a global sensation. You found the things that sparked joy, gin bar and all, and put them in a motorhome and went on and adventured from there. It is interesting what you're saying about what it's like for women aging as well. There's a big conversation in Australia about the gender pay gap, what that means in terms of retirement savings. So our system here is superannuation, and your employer puts some money aside in every paycheck into a retirement savings fund, essentially, which you can contribute to yourself. But if you take time out to have children, if you your career is held back by that, you don't go up in the pay scales the way that men might. And if you take several years out of the workforce, then when you retire, you've earned dramatically less than a man who didn't do the same thing. So that's definitely part of the conversation in terms of how equality works in the workforce as well. Ronnie, I'm interested to know what you think, hearing Siobhan's comments about what it's like for women, I guess, in the workforce, and I guess her cry to kind of younger women to start thinking about these things earlier, because if you don't, you can get into a bit of a tricky situation, I guess.
Look, you know, given that I started Oz Harvest in my 50s, I guess my message, and Siobhan and I too have written a memoir, and it's called A Repurposed Life, because fundamentally my life did get repurposed when I gave up my work. And this became my life's calling and obviously work. I think what's really fundamental is finding purpose and finding a way. You know, obviously ageism is a huge issue. It's a huge issue here in Australia. Here I am at 70, I'm still CEO of Oz Harvest. I love it. And, you know, I don't know how long more the board will have me and the organization will have me. But the point is, you know, you love what you do and you do it well. It does seem an absolute crime that you wouldn't be rewarded for it by virtue of the fact that, you know, if you're a woman, you are seriously disadvantaged in so many ways because of gender pay, gender equality. I personally really only felt it in the early days of Oz Harvest. You know, I was a square peg in a round hole. I don't look like a CEO. I didn't behave like a charity, perhaps how a woman or how a person starts and runs a charity. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. So I bumbled along and it seems to have worked really well. But I didn't fit a mold. So it's a little hard for me because I've never had a glass ceiling because I just didn't even imagine such a thing existed for me because I did what I needed to do. So, you know, I totally know that it exists. Understand the powerful role that strong women play and how important it is for young women to have role models, to understand that anything is possible for them. You know, not long ago, I was asked to talk to a bunch of young IT women. And there were so few of them, first of all, which was just so horrifying. But you know, just reminding them that their work is their value, that they just need to be confident and understand that, you know, they're not only more than equal, they're probably better than, and never to be intimidated, you know, by their surroundings.
That's a great message, Ronnie, absolutely. And Siobhan, I guess working in the media, as you did, I've heard a lot of colleagues in the media talking about the double standard that applies to women in our profession versus what it's like for men. Was that your experience as well? Did that play into your decision to just run away from it all and get behind the wheel of a motorhome and not look back?
Yeah, I mean, we all know that in advertising, media, all sorts of things, there is a problem with ageism and particularly against women. I do know that the BBC is making great inroads into trying to tackle that problem. But for me, you know, I just was overwhelmed and I did find myself getting very angry about ageist comments and ageist attitudes. And that when they're talking about people in their 50s and 60s in news meetings and how to angle a story and things, to me, I felt it was wrong and I was trying to put my input and you're treated like an older woman. And I just found it difficult conversations. But I do know things are changing and I want to be part of that change. I was in a Zoom meeting last night, an international meeting with various people talking about a major campaign that's happening next year in Britain to combat ageism. And it is, we were talking about the importance of mixing the generations, intergenerational conversations need to be had. And that's what I've been saying for the last 3.5 years whilst I'm on the road. So it's great that this major campaign is going to be happening next year because it is a problem and we don't talk about it. And women and men, I know, but women in particular, because they're disadvantaged, like you've outlined in so many ways, when they stop for childcare and things, they need to find their voice and to speak up and to get policies in place that change things. In Britain, years ago, pregnant women, they were treated badly and their jobs were ended when they went off on maternity leave and things, and legislation was brought in to change that. The same with the menopause. There's a lot of discussion and talk about it in the workplace now, and policies are being brought in and people realise that they need to make allowances. And I'm saying, you know, after that, we need, well, the 60s, who's talking to us, for us, or about us? We need to challenge ageism for that age group in particular. And that's what I'm trying to do. But you need to bring along the youngsters as well.
We're talking about finding purpose in your life, particularly as you age, as you get into your 50s and 60s and beyond. And we've been hearing from Siobhan Daniels there, former BBC journalist and presenter of 30 Years Standing, who gave it all away to drive around in a motorhome, and sounds like a fantastic thing. And also Ronnie Khan here, founder of Oz Harvest. She did that in her 50s as well, and has made a huge impact with her and her team and all the donors of both food and money who support the project of finding a good place for food that would otherwise be thrown away. And so it's really repurposing that is the common link here that we're trying to tease out. If you want to join, 1-300-800-222 or 0467-922-702. Now, Siobhan, we can't have you on for this conversation without hearing a little bit about your adventures, because when I hear about going out in a motorhome and being able to drive wherever you want, whenever you want, I can only imagine some of the places you must have ended up. What are some of the highlights of your adventures since you made this massive change to your life?
I think heading up to Scotland was a big thing for me at the very beginning. I went to the edge of a loch called Loch Morlach near Aviemore, and I literally screamed and shouted and dealt with all my demons. And I would highly recommend it if people are frustrated with their lives, go to an open space and just scream and shout. And then I thought, right, that's it. You've done with it. All the negatives, use it as fire in your belly and move forward. And I was ready to really kickstart my journey. And then the pandemic happened. So basically, I spent 9 months of the next year in two blocks being stuck in a field in my motorhome. So the second one was in wintertime, and that was a real roller coaster. I struggled with that. But I started doing Instagram lives with people and bringing people into my motorhome and carrying on, getting the message out about there are ways to live and live in the moment and enjoy getting old. But then I went to the Outer Hebrides at the beginning of this year, when I'd really got to grips with life on the road after 3 years, and I loved it. That was a dream come true. It was so, so beautiful. And I went to the tiny little islands, and I got used to driving on the narrow mountain roads, which were a bit sort of scary at times, but I was so pleased with myself that I did it. And then in July this year, I went to Ireland, and oh my goodness, traveling down to West Cork and Bantry and Skibbereen and up to Kerry and all the cliffs there, and to County Clare and Kilkee, it was just so, so beautiful. I loved it. So those really are the highlights. But I have to stress, there are good days and bad days. Mm. And when I first started, I'd never even holidayed in a motorhome. The idea just popped in my head. So I had to learn to get to grips with driving it. And I used to phone my brother all the time going, I don't know if I can do this. And he used to answer the phone going, motorhome helpline.
That's great.
But now I just love it. I love life on the road, and I would recommend it to anybody. You don't need as much stuff as you think.
Have you heard about the grey nomad phenomenon in Australia? This is an excellent kind of quite large group of people who travel around the country in retirement, and they do some amazing charitable works. There's a charity called BlazeAid that's involved in things like putting fences back up after bushfires have been through. And I've been in the past, I've been to fire-affected areas where a whole bunch of grey nomads have swarmed in and just fixed things up and done an incredible job. So I think some people here are getting the message, Siobhan, that you can have adventures out on the road in retirement, and it can be a great thing.
I think a lot of people have done it to sort of run away for something. And what I'm saying to them, you can choose it as a life choice as well. Mm. You don't have to do it just because something's gone wrong in your life. You can choose that you can have the freedom. You can be the mistress of your own destiny. You don't have to live with as much. And you can learn to live in the moment. Because I think at the moment, the way that we're living, we're just allowing ourselves to be treated poorly as we get old. And there didn't seem to be much out there for a lot of people. And I think, yes, in America, in Australia and in Britain, there's a growing number of women that are going out there and living and going on the road, but doing shorter trips as opposed to actually living in them.
Doing it forever. If there are any grey nomads who want to let us know what that's like, by the way, I'd love to hear from you. Sorry, Siobhan.
No. I think it's great what they're doing. And there's a group in America when there were the fires there. I saw that they were going out and helping people and taking provisions for them when their houses had burnt down. So I think that's great. What I'm trying to do is be a solo person in a sense and not get together with those groups, because I don't want my message in a sense, to be watered down with. I'm just sort of living on the road to not pay my bills. I'm living on the road to be a pro-age campaigner and to shout about it and to get things changed and to get policies in place to change the quality of life for people who are aging. And they don't necessarily have to take to the road in a motorhome, but just little tweaks, little changes to the way that they live. One thing I do now is lie down and watch the clouds in the sky, because it gives me that contentment, that peace, that joy. And I did that a lot as a child, which is why I revisited it. And I thought, why did I stop doing this for 50 years?
That's a very good question.
So that's what I'm trying to say to people. Just, you know, roll down a hill. Be careful of your hips, maybe, but roll down a hill. Do the kind of things that gave you joy. Kick the leaves as you walk along. It's just saying, come on, let's live. Let's live in the moment. Let's not get bogged down with buying loads of stuff and allowing ourselves to be treated badly in life.
Well, we heard that message here in Australia and we're keen to talk to you, Siobhan Daniels, which is why we've got you here on Nightlife. Dom Knight with you, and Ronnie Khan is here with us as well from OzHarvest, who says she doesn't work a day in her life running OzHarvest, although of course she works incredibly hard, but such is the fulfillment that she gets from it. Ronnie, it seems as though OzHarvest is a huge beast of an organisation now. There's lots of money that comes into the coffers. There are many, many vans zooming around and rescuing food. What's the next phase? I should mention we've got some calls we're going to take shortly as well from people who've done these kinds of things and want to share their tale. What's the next phase, Ronnie?
Thank you for asking, because actually I want to share what I experienced today, because many people might know about this part of OzHarvest, because, yep, you see our vans and that's magnificent and that is core to our purpose. And I do want to go back and remind me, I'm going to tell you about today, but remind me to just share that I totally believe that since COVID, the world has changed. People of all ages are looking for purposeful, value-led lives. But I'll come back.
I'm sure everyone would agree. Yep.
Because today was so precious. So one of the programs we run, because education is a huge part of what we do, because I created OzHarvest, yes, to solve my problem, but also not to perpetuate the problem. And as I said, I didn't realize the size of the problem. And of course, once I did, then I'm looking for all the different ways we can to solve it. So today at OzHarvest in Sydney, and next week it'll be in Adelaide, and then it'll be in Newcastle, we held a graduation ceremony today for 9 kids. So we run a program called Nourish. And that program is for youth between 15 and 25 who've fallen through the cracks, who for whatever reason have never had a positive experience in education, they've had no role models, and they're disaffected. And they find our program. And today, 9 kids in Sydney, very diverse kids from all walks of life, really, today's graduation was. And these 9 kids honestly walked into our premises 6 months ago, because the course is 6 months, and give them education, hospitality training with a certification that allows them to get a job. They walk into our place 6 months ago, barely being able to lift their heads, no eye contact, you know, very little social life skills. And today they stood at graduation. 5 of those kids are on a pathway to employment, have already got jobs. And 4 of them, 2 are going back to school. 1's going on to do another course. And 1 is retraining to something else. So I share that because obviously my sense of purpose is just enormous.
Yes.
But when you see kids that lives can be transformed, but I've got volunteers who work with that, you know, all ages, volunteers who support that program. We've got 3,500 volunteers. A lot of them are older, but younger people are starting to get engaged in also that search for something bigger than work, that the search to create a more meaningful life. So I just think it's out there. People are absolutely looking for that extra value. How can they add value? And how can they have a meaningful life beyond just their work and beyond their paycheck?
I must say, I'm getting quite inspired by this conversation, Ronnie Khan. And yeah, there's a lot of commonality in what you and Siobhan Daniels are saying about finding purpose and I guess just making the most of every day and trying to live as richer and fulfilling a life as possible. Let's have a word to Phil, who's called in from Stawell in Victoria. Hello, Phil.
Good evening. Great. I came in the conversation partway through, but a great conversation. And I came onto the. I don't consider myself a grey nomad. I'm a silver gypsy.
You're sorry. You're silver what?
A silver gypsy.
A silver gypsy. Perfect. Love it. All right.
And so I've been on the road. I've been on the road 5 years. I came from a different background. I had a career. I have a bus, and I tow a classic car, little classic car behind me, which I've had a lot of adventures in the bus and the car, and some great experiences on the road. I came into it via I'd been travelling. I was going through a separation at the time, and I was helping a friend out on a farm, and unfortunately, he got killed one night, and he put life in perspective. And it was a case of, hey, there's more to life than just sort of work, retire, and just keel over. This guy never made it to retirement. And it said, like, okay, there's more to life than just work, 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 although I am working at the moment. I'm working as I speak. But, yeah, so I gave a full-time career away. I've been traveling 5 years, mainly in the eastern states of Australia. Absolutely love it. I've had a lot of experiences and things like I've been involved in a world record, the longest line up in Barcaldine in Queensland, which was a big fundraiser for Britain.
Great.
And we were involved in getting 864 motorhomes RVs all moving together in one big parade, one line. So that was an interesting experience. I've also had a month volunteering at the Gympie Music Muster. And I do a little bit of paid work to fund my travels as well.
And yeah, I think you've done some things with BlazeAid as well.
I haven't done anything with BlazeAid.
Oh, okay. I'm misinformed.
That's what I was to do. But I haven't got there yet.
Okay, well, there you go. There's clearly a rich motorhome culture here. Maybe Siobhan will come down at some point and travel around Australia in a motorhome. Is that on the card, Siobhan?
Do you know what? I wouldn't mind doing that. I'd have great fun doing it because I loved it when I was in Australia.
We've got a lot of roads. I tell you what, you'll have plenty to see. Thank you for that, Phil. Good on you.
Not a problem. Thank you.
I love the bus option. That's very, very, it's very, very cool. We've got a few more calls here of people who've found purpose and done things. I guess heard the call that people like Ronnie Khan and Siobhan Daniels have been issuing. Laurel, hello.
Hello, Dom.
Now, you are a volunteer.
I signed up today. I'm 83 years old and I signed up as a volunteer at our local aged care hospital.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, so I'm going to do 3 days a week there. And, yeah, we're sort of sitting at home doing nothing, filling in crosswords and wondering what I'm going to do tomorrow. So one of the girls that I've known there for quite a while, because I used to visit the elderly, and most of them have passed away. And I still do visit a couple of elderly ladies here. They're at home in their 90s, and I go and have a couple with them. And one of the girls that works at the hostel said to me, well, you should volunteer. And I said, well, yeah, of course I'll do that. She said, will you really? Because apparently they're desperate for volunteers, and I didn't know that. So,
well, good for you. So I'm sure you'll be like Siobhan and Ronnie telling people that, you know, these kinds of things can deliver purpose and meaning, get you out of bed. It sounds like a pretty good thing. I hope you enjoy it.
That's right. I'm really looking forward to doing it.
Tell us how it goes down the track, Laurel. Call in for the quiz or something. That'd be great. Thank you.
I will let you know.
Excellent.
Okay.
Well, all the best with that. We've got Luke with us from Mornington as well. Hello, Luke.
Hey, Dom. How are you going?
You've gone and started a business.
Yeah, I did. I had a background through my 20s and late 30s in commercial aviation contracts, very cutthroat thing, buying and selling aircraft charters and moving all sorts of various items around the world at short notice. And it was high stress and good money. And then I found out about scuba diving down on the Mornington Peninsula, and I started doing that. And I think that assisted in me realising that there was, like previous callers, there was more to life than working 9 to 5. So, yeah, I sort of threw everything in, invested some money and started a scuba diving company or a boat charter company.
That's great. Do you feel like you never work a day of work?
I think the Instagram images show that.
Good on you.
There's a lot of back end stuff that we do.
Yeah, you got to keep it safe. But nevertheless, that's excellent. Good on you, Luke. And Lynn's here as well. And Lynn, you became a lawyer late in life. Why did you do that?
Well, excuse me. I was a little bit bored when I retired. So I decided to look around for some intellectual stimulation. And a friend was studying law. So I thought I might do the same. So eventually I finished and now I have a little practice of my own, a boutique practice, which has repurposed my life, but it's something I really love. And I do combine it with a fair bit of golf, so it's rather a nice.
That's very nice. And do you help a particular group of people? Who do you help with your law practice?
Oh, basically I do work in elder law, which seems appropriate. Because, you know, I know most of the issues that face older people, and I'm sympathetic to them, certainly. And what I also do is give talks to seniors about elder law so they do have some understanding of the issues that are likely to face them and how they might approach them, I suppose. And I think this combines teaching, which I used to be, and the law, which is, for me, an idyllic vocation.
Yeah, that must be enormously empowering to help people navigate the legal challenges of ageing, which are quite considerable. Yeah. So there you go, Ronnie Khan and Siobhan Daniels. We've got some people who've called in and shared some stories. And Ronnie, from what you were saying, yes, that it's if you find the right purpose, you can just keep going potentially forever.
Absolutely. But just to touch back on that notion that COVID did fundamentally change us. It made us realize that we can work anywhere, that we're not in control. And I think that we really are, you know, still, and whilst we think that COVID's over, and obviously here in Australia, there does seem to be a wave going through, I think it has fundamentally changed us and given people the belief as well as the challenge of how to live a more meaningful life.
Well, yes, so you don't necessarily get that long, and you never know when a pandemic's going to kind of ruin a few years, do you?
Exactly. So I think that this is the time to make sure that the things you do fill you with joy, but that they also have a positive effect on other people in the world.
And Siobhan, that sounds not unlike the things you're saying about making the most of life and jumping out, doing things and making time to look at the clouds as well.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. And I do agree with Ronnie about the fact that COVID has changed and people are looking for a sense of purpose. And I just think we need to be kinder. I think kindness is the biggest strength in life. And I think we just need to be kinder and allow people to live the lives that they want to live, the way that they want to live. There is no one size fits all. And I think COVID definitely made people think again.
Yeah, absolutely. What does the next phase look like for you, Siobhan? We'll have to go to the news in a moment, sadly, as much as I'd love to continue the conversation. But the news kicks in at the top of each hour, no matter what, as I'm sure you know from the BBC,
yeah, that's
Siobhan.
True. The next phase for me is to carry on travelling, doing what I'm doing, and be involved in anti-ageism campaigns and writing another book and just getting together with women older and younger to try and change policies.
Yep, sounds like a lot of people have supported the work that you're doing. It's resonated with a lot of people. And you're at the helm of something of a movement there in Britain, Siobhan.
I hope so. I do hope so. And I am meeting a lot of people. I'm just going now from when I finish with you to the Yorkshire Business Women's Christmas lunch. I was invited there. So I'm going to be talking there and meeting a lot of people. And I'm really looking forward to that, to making the connection so people in businesses will then change their policies.
Sounds like a great thing to do, Siobhan. Thank you so much for your time this evening. It's been
my
lovely
pleasure.
Meeting you. Siobhan Daniels there. Her book is called Retirement Rebel. And if you head around on the roads of the UK, you may well see her in her motorhome. Ronnie Khan, what an amazing period it's been. I'm so glad the ABC has been able to partner with you in New South Wales and the ACT to raise all of that money, and I'm sure you'll put it to an incredibly good use, feeding people who really, really need it.
Absolutely. And if there's just a moment, Siobhan was talking about kindness. I don't know if we've got time, but there is this beautiful quote that I talk about from Amos Oz, and it goes like this. I'm just checking to see how much
time. You've got about a minute, 30 seconds.
Okay, so yep. Very, and it's just that as in the face of a huge conflagration like a fire, we all have three principal options. We can look at that fire, and we can run away as fast as we can. That's one option. Number two, we can write an angry letter to the newspaper and say those perpetrators should be punished. Or number three, we can run and find a bucket. If you cannot find a bucket, find a jug. If you cannot find a jug, find a teaspoon. Because we all have a teaspoon. And yes, a teaspoon is tiny, but that fire is huge and there are millions of us. And we can all use our teaspoon for random acts of goodness.
You certainly have, Ronnie Khan. Thank you for joining us this evening. Ronnie Khan's book is A Repurposed Life. She's the founder of Oz Harvest. Lovely having you both on. What an absolute delight.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.